Chinwag with Sister Bang Bang. Welcome along to Chinwag with yours truly, Sister Bang Bang of the Manchester Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. Stand by for lots of malicious gossip, wicked chit-chat,
and nothing but the whole truth.
No way.
It's Chinwag with Sister Bang Bang.
What's more?
Today's show contains words of wisdom, sublime words, and rude words too. So if you're of a nervous disposition, fly away, my pretty. If, however, you're made of sterner stuff, then settle back for another fabulous edition of...
Oh my God, it's another week. It's another Chinwag. Hold on a moment, though. It's not just another Chinwag. It's also Sister Indica sat thousands of miles away with Joy Bomb. Hi!
Hey, sis. How are you doing on this gorgeous, gorgeous day?
Oh, it's been raining all day today, but it's warmed up nicely. But the niceness about it is we're doing a Chin Bomb.
Yes.
A Joy Wag. Yes, I've been looking forward to this, and we've got lots of questions from everybody all around the world as well, wanting to probe the pair of us this time, which I've been looking forward to. I like this sort of thing.
Well, you know, a lot of YouTubers or Instagrammers will do these collaboration projects where, you know, they'll all, you know, have a similar topic and they'll all record similar videos, or they'll do similar makeup things and put it all together as a nice collaboration. So I think this is pretty cool that we're doing a collaboration podcast.
Is this a first? Have you ever heard of it?
I've never heard of it. I'm going to pretend that we're trailblazers on this.
World exclusive. So before we start, though, what's your week been like, Sister Indica?
It's been awful. Have you been watching the news?
What in your news in particular? It's just nonstop this year, isn't it?
It has
just
been
nonstop.
America has been going insane. Very quickly descending into madness, even more so than normal. So I am trying to bring the joy and bring some high energy just to combat all of the negativity and awfulness going on in my country. So we're just trying to get through Bang Bang. And I think that people like us, you know, sisters, I think our job is to, it is our mission to spread joy. But I think it is, in times like this, it is absolutely our job and responsibility and duty to bring lightness and joy and positive vibes and healing vibes to our people and our community. So that's my intention today, is to bring some happiness and put a smile on faces, because we're all very down.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more there. There's so much that we could talk about on a very serious vein, but you know, there's time and a place to have a smile on one's face, isn't it? And to just get people to be a bit more cheery, you know, in times of crap like 2016 is.
Yeah, if we could do a reset and just start over 2016, that would be great.
Yeah.
But I want to pick it up right back here. If we could start over, I want to start it off in June, because it is summer and it's beautiful. Actually, it's July now, but it's the start of the summer and it's gorgeous here in Florida right now. It's like almost 90 degrees. The sun is shining. The beautiful white fluffy clouds are in the bright blue sky. It's really hard to be in a bad mood when that's the view you have. So I'm feeling good today, sis.
Just thank you for rubbing it in, Sister Indica. Thank you, darling.
I'm trying to entice you. Just like on Chinwag, you entice people to donate at ManchesterSisters.org. I am trying to entice you to come visit Florida.
It's not going to take much enticing. It would be on the next flight out of Manchester. Today, it's been rained constantly, constant rain for the last 6 weeks or so. Every single day there has been rain. Today it's really quite warm, but therefore it's a bit muggy at the same time. But I'll just picture those white fluffy clouds scudding across your sky. Yes. In Florida.
Yes, very, very lovely.
Lovely. Shall we get straight into it then? Shall we go for it?
Yes, I saw all these questions that you sent over. I can't believe that people from all over the world, and you're not even kidding, this is literally all over the world, people from all over the world ask these amazing questions of us. And I'm excited, because I think there's going to be some pretty good answers.
Good. We've not been rehearsing, though, because I've been kind of avoiding, I've sort of seen them and then quickly copied and pasted them over to you. So, first one, should we just sort of switch between the two? So I'll read the first one out.
That works.
And then after we've done that, you can read the second one. Right, so Philip in Manchester. Hello, Philip. What would you choose as a wish if you could have only one? You can go first.
Well, kind of alluding to what we were talking about earlier, if I could have one wish granted at this time, it would be that there were no weapons of any kind. They would all vanish. They would all, every single weapon that exists in any form and any intent to use any type of weapon or use something as a weapon, that just that whole psychological intent behind that. And then, of course, the weapons themselves, if they could all disappear. I'm not going to ask for world peace because I think that's a little too lofty. But this is absolutely, I mean, this isn't lofty at all. I mean, just having all the weapons vanish and disappear, that's totally probable.
Yeah,
totally possible. That's easier. So, yeah, that would be my wish right now, just again, because of everything that's happening, not even in just America, but all over the world. I think that we are just in a time where the world is so angry and there's just so much turmoil and strife that if we could just remove that, I think that would help us start a path toward being more peaceful and loving toward one another. So right now, Philip, that would absolutely be my wish. But if you ask me next week, it might be for an unlimited supply of atomic cosmetics.
I just knew you were going to say makeup.
You knew it. You knew. Of course you knew. You know me. You know I'm shallow.
I'm going to have to talk about that makeup as well. But not just yet, because that's a fab answer. It's kind of not that different from what I want as well. And you kind of think world peace. Everybody tends to go, so many people want to go for world peace. I see the frustration over patriotism. And I I'm not getting away from the fact that we should all be proud of something, and you know, but there's the huge danger of being proud of one's country, and then it's sort of spiraling out of control, and people are getting so protective over their country at the expense of other people and the expense of other people's rights, human rights, and you know, to me, I've always thought of this world of ours as one world. Mm-hmm. It's one world. We all live on the same world. It's the one thing that we really do have in common. You know, we all live in these different bits of earth all over the place, but we live on one world. And why we can't just keep treating it as just one world and love each other and respect each other and stop firing guns at each other, lofty ambitions. But yeah, that would be my wish, that we could all concentrate on one world.
And if this was in a different week, in a different time, your answer may have been different, too. You may have wanted unlimited yards of faux fur. That might have been what you answered. Am I right?
Well, I have to say, I've already had yards and yards of faux fur. As you've seen from my pictures from last week, I've been snowed under with faux fur. So I'm actually moving into a liquid mercury fabric now and leatherette.
Ooh, because if you were to have more faux fur, that might be what you guys would consider over-egging the pudding. Am I correct? I'm trying to use a British phrase there.
You're right. It would over-egg the pudding a little bit there. One can improve on beauty and everything. A few of my friends did say, bang, bang, you seem to be enjoying this rather a lot. We're getting a little concerned. I love it. I love dressing up. I can't help it. It puts a smile on my face.
Well, it doesn't just put a smile on your face. It puts a smile on other people's faces. And I was thinking just the exact, the very similar lines of just the ridiculousness of what we do, how we get and, you know, we do all this makeup, we put all these crazy outfits on and we go out in the world and from a boring kind of perspective, it's like, ooh, what the hell? Why are you doing that? Why waste your time with all that? Like, it's so ridiculous. Grow up. But then I'm like, wait a minute, it's so fun and it makes people smile and it's fun. Like there's a need for people in the world to be the ones that stand out a little bit and just have fun and remind you that you don't need to take life so seriously. Like, calm down. It's not that serious. We're having fun. We're here on this planet to have fun.
Absolutely. We do a lot of serious stuff. We all do, all over the planet. We do the serious. That's times, as you say, Sister Indica, you need time out from that. And drowning myself in faux fur is one of the things. Yes, I'll do it. The interesting thing, actually, though, I was thinking, you know, a year ago, I went to the same drag ball in Manchester. And I was quite young in terms of being a sister at that time, and wasn't even a full sister, fully professed sister at that time. So I wasn't glammed up as much as I wanted to be. I wasn't makeup as much as I wanted to be. And I remember the big drag queens, I mean, you know, drag queens who do it as a profession, looked amazing. They looked like they stepped out of some sort of 16th century painting, an English Renaissance somewhere in the countryside. And it went up and said hello to them, and they looked at my face, my makeup and my outfit, and said nothing. And then we just like, oh my god, from a drag queen, that's shouting. And last week when I went in and in my new finery and everything, it was amazing how many drag queens went, oh my god, Sister Bang Bang, you look amazing, do a twirl. And I thought, she's crossed the barrier. It's a journey.
You know, there's a journey to fabulous. You don't just walk. I mean, I will say that I do know of some people that walked right out to the door, put together amazing. They didn't have that rough kind of evolutionary process that 99% of us have to go through, where we're discovering our look and learning, you know, how to put things together and how to really refine the makeup skills. Some people just have that stuff innate, and they are very stylish and can put anything together. They could take trash and make it look amazing. So there are some people who did just start off fabulous, but for the rest of us, it is a journey.
It's hard work, isn't it? Yes. Actually, I've just noticed it leads into our second question. This we didn't plan it this way, honestly.
I know, isn't that perfect? Well, I'll throw it out there to the people. This is from Rosie in Frankfurt, Germany.
Hi, Rosie.
Hey, Rosie. She wants to know, where do you get the inspirations from for your gorgeous costumes?
Well, phew, gosh, mine come from all over the place, really. My head just sort of, I don't know, just has sparkly butterflies swimming through and acorns and stuff like this. So, yeah, it's just like the faux fur one. That was actually a friend of mine who is a costume designer. He designs for opera and theatre. Oh. Mark Bowman. So, you know, that's a friend worth having.
Oh, hell yes. tell him I'm a size 18 in US. Get to work.
No, he's mine. Get
oh,
your hands.
So selfish, Bang Bang.
No, of course I will. And it was my birthday some months ago, and we were walking through Shepherd's Bush in London, which is absolutely rammed with fabric shops. There must be about 30 or 40 fabric shops down there. And he said, right, come on. He says, it's your birthday coming up. I'll make you an outfit. The only thing is, I will choose the fabric. And it's him that chose the faux fur. But he does know me. He reflects me. So that was like one aspect of it. But I don't know about you. It sort of evolves. You just see something and you want to go with it, don't you?
Well, for me, first of all, I'll say, I'm not trying to be mean, but it's just, you know, I'm an educator. Mm-hmm. I don't consider these costumes. I consider these habits, because we are nuns. So just FYI, to the people in Frankfurt, Germany and beyond, we are nuns and they're habits. Now, my inspiration for my habits, I have a very specific idea in mind of who Sister Indica is visually. And I like to think of her, or me, myself, I'm speaking in third person like I'm insane. I prefer more chic, understated, a lot of stuff that's very, I like a lot of 60s inspired stuff. Like, you know, if I could have a dream of having any person put me together and create all my habits, it would be Coco Chanel, but that's not possible for a number of reasons. But I like chic, understated, classic looks. So I will look through if it's a website or a store. There's very few things that apply to me. So I will go through and I'll be like, oh, that's not me. Oh, here's one chic piece of a dress that just screams me. So I do that. That's what I go for. That's my inspiration. A lot of 50s, 60s, you know, chic lady about town, socialite is my, that's who I have in my brain. How that translates, necessarily the same, but that's where my that's where it comes from. That's the well from which it springs.
Oh, that's very erudite of you. The well from which it springs. I like that.
You make me want to be more eloquent, you know, because you're so well educated and British.
No, it's all smoke and mirrors, darling.
Hey, the accent makes you believe anything.
Exactly. Maggie Smith once said that. He says, it's nothing to do with education, dear. It's just how we pronounce our words that make us sound as though we're not stupid. I thought, yeah, absolutely. But you're absolutely right about the habit because, I know applies to you as much as to me. There's certain parts of our habit that we can't change and we don't change. And it's usually the veil. You have a very distinctive veil, much more so than mine. But ours is, you know, the traditionals. I think it's St. Francis Mark II, if you go by Sister Act and that sort of thing. So it's very similar to there, with the neck, the cowl, the yoke and all that sort of thing. Yours is, I don't know where yours comes from, but I wouldn't like to be stuck in a stiff wind wearing your veil.
Well, I wear two different ones. The one that you're referring to is from Los Angeles, and it looks very much like the Flying Nun. If you've seen the TV show with Sally Field, it's very aerodynamic. I don't remember exactly where the inspiration for that came from. I'm awful in that sense. But I wear another one too, which is the San Francisco coronet. And that was based off of, I think it was like 14th century Flemish nuns where they never cut their hair and they would roll it up on each side and cover it in fabric. So it gives this illusion of like, you know, it looks like kind of like a bra in a way because, you know, the hair on each side. But that's where the inspiration comes from. And one of my mother, Sister Noratorius, actually got her hands on the original pattern that the sisters used for their coronets. And they've changed over the years. So the one I wear is the old school original San Francisco style, which is not aerodynamic and is much better for different events, for instance, the one from LA is aerodynamic and it's not conducive to a parade because it will like blow off. It'll come off. So I have to be very conscious of where I am and it gives a different look. So it just depends on if I want my ears covered or not, really.
It just goes to show, doesn't it? We don't just throw on clothes. They're carefully thought out. And there's a story. I didn't realize it was the story behind the bra on top of the head thing. I just thought it was just a shape. But
yeah,
it's a hair that doesn't get cut.
Right.
How fabulous.
And most of the older houses, because San Francisco obviously is the first one, so they have the longest seniority of 37 years. But LA also has been around for 20 years. Your convent has been around for 20 years. So I think that a lot of the original or older orders have references throughout history and can say it's based on this, it's based on this. There's a real looking into the history of all nuns and convents and pulling inspiration from there. I think that newer convents do not have that similar philosophy, and they have started to pull from geography. Like, if they're in this city, they'll look at it for a landmark that is that screams their destination, and they'll base the coronet on a landmark or their city versus looking into history and pulling from convents. So it's different. I am a little more old school mentality. I prefer having something that has a story that references a convent because we're nuns. And I think that we need to remember that. And yeah, I kind of like the ones that have a real basis in history.
No, I agree with you. It's nice to have that relationship with, you know, it's like when people ask about the sisters, isn't it? So many people are surprised that we have such a history that we also don't just fall into dressing up as sisters. You know, there's a strict path. It can take like a year and a half to get to being a fully professor. So, you know, most people who are not aware of us tend to think there's this huge drag bag And it's a free for all. You just rummage through it and you get ready in 20 minutes. And that's fine for a Sunday afternoon when you're not doing that sort of, you know, the sistery thing. But that's the important, one of the important things about being a sister, isn't it? It's there's a structure. There's a lot of structure.
I like the structure. But when referring to just habits and stuff like that, I do like the look of a traditional nun. Believe it or not, I do. I used to dress way more traditionally in the beginning than I do now. I used to wear the coif, which is the fabric that goes around the face. I used to wear a bib, which, you know, is that circular piece of fabric that goes over the coif, so it kind of hides it. I did very traditional nun looks in the beginning, and then I just got more and more chic and
outrageous
and less nunly over time. But I would love a true, and every house has them. We just don't usually wear them very often, but I haven't gotten one yet from this house, but I need to. I want a beautiful formal habit that is very regal, basically almost like with your friend, like something I could wear to an opera, where it's very chic but it's very elegant and it's very, you know, grand and fitting for that kind of event. So I do like a traditional nun look, an opulent nun look, as Sister Iona Whip would say, opulent nun look. I do like that. I'm just too cheap, to be completely honest with you. I'm too cheap to buy one, but I'm gonna put the money in, because I think it's time that I do own something a little bit nicer.
Yeah, it's strange that anyway, because our Manchester house, you have to have your what we call the formal habit, the less decorated, the black and the white. You have to have that first before anything. And we tend to use that for more serious events, you know, such as memorial services and that sort of thing, when, you know, wearing a lot of bling just isn't right. It's not right for that sort of thing, or thigh length boots like I wear, or corsets. So we always have our formal to hand, and we have to have that straight away. As soon as you become a novice, you have to make that. And then the rest is just additional too. So, yeah, mine's going to be remade, because mine was made with some fabric. I think it's more used to scrubbing pavements with. It's rough and it's horrible. It's nasty. So that's going in the bin as soon as I make my new formal. So there you go. Anyway, you're listening to Chinwag with myself, Sister Bang Bang, and
Sister Indica from Joy Bomb.
It's a duet.
Do you fancy a right good night out?
A night full of comedy, glamour and camp?
Well, make a date, the Village Show Bar.
You'll love our outrageous entertainment.
Lots of drink promotions and, of course, your in-house show team.
Oh, and don't forget the American-style cuisine. The Village Show Bar.
Right opposite Churchill's. See you there.
The Village Show Bar.
Instagram. Yes, your sister is on Instagram, and it's the only way to see all my wonderful, gorgeous photos. And some of them are even suitable for your mother to see, but not many. So, prod your finger over to Instagram and find me, Sister Bang Bang Ladesh. You know you want to.
So we are back. This is Sister Indica from Joy Bomb, and I have my homegirl for life all the way from Manchester, UK, Sister Bang Bang.
It is with Chinwag. It's a double show that we're doing, our first and definitely not the last. And what we're doing is responding to all the questions that you who are sitting there playing on Grindr, stop it, listen to the program, and we're responding to your questions, and we've got lots more.
And I honestly thought, and you know, you already knew, we could just talk about one topic, one question for an hour. So we didn't need to like have a ton of questions. And I'm like, are we going to have enough? Do we need to add more? Do we need to get some more? But yeah, looking at the time, I think that we're doing really well on time.
Well, yes, I think we've got enough material for about three shows, rather than the how we're going at the moment. Sister Indica, can you do the next question, because the question is.
Okay. This is from Angela St. Clement in London, England. So just down the road from you a little bit, couple hour train ride, I believe.
Yeah, 200 miles, yeah.
Yeah, so she says, I love Bang Bang's quick six, so I'd like to add a seventh question just for you two sisters. Dressed or naked?
Oh, God, dressed. Oh, God, definitely dressed. Darling, I go to bed at night and I put tea towels on all the mirrors so I don't shock myself when I get up in the morning. It's just, no. I like dressing up. It's that's important. Maybe a little bit of flesh going on, but sir, can you imagine a naked sister? Oh, no, that's not right. How about you?
Well, there are some sisters that are pretty gorgeous that I have seen naked and have no complaints. There are some very, very, very gorgeous sisters that look amazing naked. But for me, I'm going to have to go with Bang Bang on this. Definitely dressed. That's where all the fun is. I mean, you know, I like to see, I like to look at naked people. I mean, that's awesome. That's fun. That's great if they're, you know, hot. But for me, yeah, I look better dressed. I look better. The more clothes, the better. The more Spanx, the better.
Spanx? What's a Spanx?
Spanx are shapewear. So they basically just make you look thinner.
Oh, like a corset?
Kind of, but they're a little more, they're stretchy. And you wear them. And then you could do a corset over it, you know, so that's even double the body shaping. But yeah, so the more Spanx, the more corsets, the more black, the better.
Black slimming. I must get some of those. I've never ever heard that phrase before, Spanx. But yes, I like corsets because they give you a figure and also, you know, they pull things in, don't they? Like you don't want on display necessarily.
Yeah, it's a good combination. So do the Spanx or whatever they call it over there, or whatever you find that's similar, that's a shapewear. And then that goes underneath everything. And then, you know, you can put your dress on, put your corset on over that, and you're just even more smoothed out. So all the lines are smoothed out, and you just look even better in a dress.
Makes you wonder where all the excess is going to go, though, because it's got to go somewhere, hasn't it? If it's squeezed in the middle, where is it going to pop out?
It goes where it goes. It's just fine, Bang Bang. Don't worry about it.
Well, thank you, Angela, for that rather cheeky question. Tor and Gerhard from Amsterdam. Hello, Tor and Gerhard.
Oh, bring me a doggy bag back from Amsterdam, guys. You know what I like.
What, food? Or is it licorice?
Oh, Bang Bang. Don't be coy.
I'm being English, aren't I? British, very British.
Very British.
Tor and Gerhard say, what did you think of the sisters before you came one?
Oh, okay. Well, I'll start off. We've talked about this actually on a previous episode of Chinwag. If you want to look up in the archives, we did discuss this. So maybe you're a new listener. That's fine. That's okay. We're always open for new folks. I was very enamored by them. I thought they were amazing creatures that were otherworldly, superhuman, just these brilliant creatures that did so much good for their community. They were political. They were doing fun events. They were just having so much fun at different events they were invited to. They were colorful. They were vibrant. They were just like a firecracker in a dark room. They just had this presence about them. And I was intimidated. I was so scared to even talk to them because they were just, I just couldn't imagine approaching them. I was so intimidated. So it's actually quite surprising that I ended up becoming a sister, because I'm surprised I got over that nervousness and fear of the sisters, because they are just so, I don't know, they just looked out from like they were from another dimension. I loved them. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be near them, but I was too nervous to talk to them. But I clearly got over that.
Well, yes, I'm always someone. What did I think?
Yeah, what did you think?
Well, I thought the sisters were basically undignified painted whores who practice lewd and raucous behavior, and that's why I love them.
So your initial instincts were correct.
Absolutely, spot on. But I remember being aware of the sisters many, many years ago, not in the UK, though. This is going back more than 20 years, obviously when I was very, very, very young. And I was aware of what I was hearing from the States and used to see it in the American press, American magazines. We used to get, I think it was called The Advocate, mm-hmm, over here. And used to see pictures of them over there. And I was always fascinated. And then, of course, the sisters popped up in books like Armistead Maupin's Tales of the City. Mm-hmm. So I was always sort of aware of them. They were on my periphery. And then they just came closer and closer. But yeah, I was never afraid of them. But I've worked in entertainment and show business for years. So that sort of thing never frightens me. But a lot of people do have come up and said, oh, you know, I've always been a little afraid of the sisters, which is a fascinating emotion, because we're not out to frighten people or scare people. I suppose it's because we're much bigger than anything, really, aren't we?
Yeah, larger than life. And I will say, I have, you know, as a musician, since from age 15 to 30, before I became a sister, I was, you know, very focused on my musical interest in trying to become a successful musician. It didn't work, but I tried very hard. But I have, because of that, interacted with celebrities from, you know, all walks of life. And I never, ever am intimidated by a celebrity, because I the way I feel is, hey, you know better than me. You just were discovered, and you just, you know, are part of the business, but I could be just as good as you. So I don't think you're better than me. I don't think I should be nervous around you. So the fact that I was so nervous around the sisters is very weird for me, because no one intimidates me.
I can believe that. I can believe
except one person. No, two people. I would say probably maybe three. Okay, there's three. I'll tell you. I know exactly who it is. Yeah. These three people would probably be very intimidating for me to be around, and I would have a very hard time keeping my cool. Number one is Katie Lang.
Okay.
Number two is Kate Bush. And number three is Roisin Murphy.
Well, that's a surprise. That's an unusual list. Maybe we should have had that as a question. Name the person that intimidates you most. That's really interesting, that.
They would be... Roisin probably less, but more so Kate Bush would probably... I would just not know how to... it would be such a struggle to keep my cool around her. And Katie Lang as well.
Would you kind of go, oh, hiya, Kate. Oh my God, I've loved you all my life. I've got all your albums.
No, I wouldn't be able to. I don't know. I don't know. I would just probably be too tongue-tied to even speak. I would just be so intimidated by her, because I think she is like another, she's out of this world. Like it's impossible that she's human. Like that's the way I look at her, because of her abilities and the just her brilliance as a producer, as a musician, as a songwriter, as a vocalist. The fact that she's been able to maintain such a mystique about her, which is very rare to do, or it's very rare that someone would want that, because everyone wants the attention. So for her, she's like a I don't know, like a mythical creature almost.
A bit of a goddess.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I won't rub it in then, Sister Indica.
Don't tell me you've met her.
I've met her. Well, I met her years and years and years ago. Oh. But then I saw her live 2 years ago in London. And it was amazing. It's just, I won't rub that in though, Sister Indica.
Because I'm on her mailing list, they sent an email to everyone on her mailing list so that you were given a code so that you would have first dibs at tickets to see her comeback enormous spectacular show that she was doing called Before the Dawn. That's what it's called, right? Before the Dawn?
Yeah.
I'm just making sure I'm getting it right. I'm waiting for that DVD, Kate Bush, by the way. Where's the DVD of this? I want it. I need it. Bring it to me. Anyway, so they gave us all codes so that we could get our tickets first. Obviously, there's no way that I'm affording a trip over to the... Well, maybe not obvious, but I'll tell you, I'm broke. I can't afford a trip over to the UK right now or back then. So I couldn't go, and I was devastated that I couldn't go, because she has never performed or did not do an actual tour or a concert since 1979. So this was so important. This was such a huge comeback for her, a live show thing. I gave it to someone in the UK so they could go.
Oh, well, you're spreading the love and the joy around.
See what a nice person I am? So all you people that think I'm mean, I gave someone my code so they could go see Kate Bush and I couldn't. I'm nice.
But if you had the money to have done that journey, you would have been there like a shot.
Oh, absolutely. But I did get the bootleg audio, so I have heard it.
Oh, have you?
Yes.
Oh, it was amazing. It really was just... You can't describe it. It was just, yeah. We need just a little slight break here to recover. You're listening to Chinwag with myself, Sister Bang Bang, and...
Sister Indica with Joy Bomb.
Hey kids, you know that every episode of Chinwag is done completely free, doesn't cost a penny or a dime, and it's just one of the many ways that we sisters try and entice you to donate money to good causes. So, if you have a few pennies to spare, please go now to our website at www.themanchestersisters.org
and just click on one of the donate buttons.
Every tiny bit helps, and we rely on your generosity. So donate now at www.themanchestersisters.org. Thank you from the bottom of our goodly hearts. Don't touch that dial.
Sister Bang Bang, spoiling it for everyone.
And we're back in the room. This is Sister Bang Bang with Chinwag.
And Sister Indica from Joy Bomb.
Did you like the way we said that? We've been practicing in the break.
Yeah, you nailed it. It's very seductive, very sultry.
It is, isn't it? I'm also almost tempted to put on my bicep length gloves and stroke myself. Not that way. So this program is a duet between her and me, and we're responding to all your questions which you pitched to us over the last 3 or 4 weeks. If you haven't got your question in, then tough, but there will be another chance. We're going to do this again. Yeah.
And, just by the way, do you hear my cat screaming in the background?
I wonder what that noise was.
I will say the people that listen to my show Joy Bomb are very used to my cat Scarlett screaming loudly in the background, eating loudly, dropping her food on the table and eating it. So if you hear a sound like a clattering sound, it's her taking her paw and swiping a bunch of food out of the bowl and throwing it on this table so that she can then eat it, because she won't eat out of the bowl. She's such a diva.
I have to call her Mariah.
Yeah, so just to let you guys know, that's Scarlett. Just ignore her.
I've got two, but they don't make any noises at all. In fact, they're probably asleep. I can't even see them here at the Manchester Convent.
I have a dog, and you never hear him.
That's because you've got a cat.
He's so well-behaved. He's so sweet. He doesn't bark. He is this nicest, kindest dog ever. And I have another cat that is very, very quiet. She screams, but it's like a very light, faint mew. You can't really hear her. But Scarlett is just obnoxious. So she takes after her mother.
I'm glad you said that, because it was on the tip of my tongue, darling.
Oh, that.
Right, let's get back to the questions. Your turn now.
Okay. Which is kind of funny, based on the last thing we were talking about. This is from Paolo in Manchester. So possibly your neighbor. Very well could be living down the street. Very well could be stalking you, bang, bang.
I have got a stalker, but we won't go into that at the moment.
Well,
but yeah,
maybe
he's not called Paolo.
Oh, maybe this is an assumed name. What's the most undignified thing that has ever happened to you?
Just the one.
Just got to choose the top one. A top one. Oh, well, maybe it's. I don't know.
Oh, actually, my mind started to wander when I was thinking about this question. The most undignified thing that's ever happened to you. Well. Now, you know, and if you've read the Manchester Sisters website, that Bang Bang has got a long and glorious story. She started back in Vienna and has done all sorts of things. And as I say, back in my misspent youth, I made a few artistic films solely to pay the bills. Just to pay the bills. And one in particular saw me dressed in a rubber nun's outfit in a council flat lift with a donkey who was also in a rubber suit. So you could say that was quite undignified. They had to anaesthetize the donkey to get it out of the lift in the end.
Oh, bang, bang.
You're shocked, aren't you?
That's terrible. Is there a VHS copy?
They never actually finished the film because of all that. And that was why it was undignified. I went to all that work, and it does take work to be a gorgeous, glamorous sister. And it didn't. So yeah, it was undignified because I had to walk home afterwards. Yes,
well,
I couldn't afford a taxi.
Well, in that spirit, I will tell a very provocative story, and I don't typically speak like this on my show. I'm a lady, but I will say this was undignified, and it was actually kind of a funny story, so it works for the show. Mm-hmm. I was in a a nightclub in Tijuana, Mexico. No, this does not involve a donkey, bang bang. I was in a nightclub in Tijuana, Mexico that had a dark room in the back. And I went into this dark room and there were little chambers, these little small rooms that, you know, you could go into with another man, another gentleman. It was a lot of gentlemen cruising for sex in this back room. And I found a very attractive man, which, I mean, as attractive as you could possibly tell in pitch blackness. But I got a good idea. I got a good idea from some of the exit lighting that he was pretty attractive. So I brought him into one of these rooms. And I started to give him a blowjob. And there was a time where he was about to come. And he said, "Does baby want his milk?"
No.
And I thought that was very undignified. And I almost laughed. And I'm surprised I didn't, because I thought, of all the sex I've had over my life, and it's been a lot. I'm a lady. I don't talk about it, but trust me, it's a considerable amount. Countless. I don't even know a number at this point. That was the most hilarious, embarrassing thing that has ever happened to me sexually, is someone asking me, "Does baby want his milk?"
It just made me think that we should do an X-rated version of a duet, but we're kind of doing that anyway now, aren't we?
Hey, you brought up the rubber outfit and the donkey, so I thought you could open the door for me to share more than I would typically share. But just spoiler, baby did not want his milk. Baby didn't. But I thought it was very hilarious, and I did. But you know what? Maybe because I laughed at him in my mind, karma did get me, because I ended up stepping on my glasses, because I had to take my glasses off to blow him. And I ended up stepping on my glasses, which were very expensive and very nice. And I went without glasses for many years after that. And just now, actually, just this year, got them back. So it's been a long time.
What, from that dark room?
Right. Years.
And them back.
Years and years.
I'm crying with laughter here.
Yeah.
Oh, do you know, that just reminded me of a story for my best friend years ago. He went to, I think it was a club in Amsterdam or somewhere. He went with his best friend at that time. And they'd gone to this club, and it had a dark room. And my best friend said, "Right, I'm just going to go off and have a little wander." Went to the dark room, eventually prostrated himself on his knees in a position not dissimilar to what your story entailed, shall we say. Went to work on this man, and after they'd both satisfied themselves, they couldn't see each other in the dark because it was dark. He thought, "I'd really like those shoes. Those are such cool sneakers." Anyway, they parted company. They didn't do anything else. He went outside, met up with his best friend, and after talking, happened to glance down and saw that it was those shoes.
No!
Yes! And I went, "Did you tell him?" And no, of course I didn't tell him. I wasn't so embarrassed.
Oh my God.
So here's a little tip, folks. You know, if you're going to mess around like that, just make a little mental note of things like what shoes are your best friends wearing. He always used, because he at that time he used to hate mustaches on guys. So in dark rooms, he used to put his hand up to their face and pat just
above
their
mouth.
And if you could detect a mustache, he went away, walked away.
Oh, that's weird. Oh, I love it.
Yes, it was. Yes, it's fantastic. this duet between the two of us is working even better than I thought it would do.
Trash. Absolute trash.
It is. It's just descending. This is wonderful. And that's part one of our amazing Q&A show with Sister Indica in Florida and me, Sister Bang Bang in Britain, answering your questions today. Listen now to part two, kids.